Go ahead, Brother Bill.
Okay. So everyone sees the presentation screen?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, well, just a quick introduction. First of all, I wanted to say that the direction of the material as really was inspired by Steve Woodby's conference talk. And then also a comment that I believe was made by Russell when we were talking about there's so much information coming forward in these times. How do we decide what we can use or should use to study? Is there some criteria that we can use? What I'm hoping today is just to talk through my thoughts on, as I was reflecting on those couple of things, what I came up with as far as how we choose what we study and what's important to us. So that's kind of my quick introduction here. So the title of this is Out of the Best Books. And just quickly, because of my work, and I just got called back to my employer back down in California, so I've been traveling down to California. But all the work that I do is mostly communication and presentation material. So like Monday, I'll be out in front of the teachers union in a negotiation setting, giving an update on the state budget. So just give you an idea, this is the kind of stuff I have to do all the time. So anyway, that's just quick background. So I'm not, I don't want people to think that I'm setting some kind of standard here or something. This is just how I have to work through material when I'm presenting it. So that's why it takes this particular form. Okay, so what I wanted to do is just quickly talk about getting sort of to Russell's comment. Where are all these books? What are these books? And how do we approach these books? Those are the first few slides. But I do think if we get to Dr. Woodby's comments, we're going to get down to there are some books that are more important than other books. And I want to kind of talk about those and then get your thoughts and comments on what that list of books would look like. And then finally, when we've kind of talked about what kind of book, we have about an hour, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So when we get down to sort of talking about what books would be on that list, there was, I think, a famous story about the time machine. And then the time machine leaves and it goes someplace back in time or forward in time. And there were, in the library, I think there were 8 books missing. And then the movie ends. And I remember as a kid thinking, what were the 8 books that he took? So it's sort of like that. I think you're going to see that your time's limited, so you're going to have to choose carefully the books that you will study. And then finally, once we have that list, what is it that we're trying to get out of those books? You know, is it geography? Are we trying to understand world history? What is it that we're trying to get out of these books? And then I think that I'll try to wrap it up with that stuff and tie back to Steve's comments. Okay, so the first slide I've got here is the types of books and bestsellers. So if you take, I don't know if you can see that screen okay, but if you look through that, you're probably not surprised by one of the bestsellers, right? The Little Prince, The Da Vinci Code, Harry Potter, tens of millions of books sold, right? And then on the other, I've got another slide there that shows 2.5 billion books, 2.6 billion books. And if you look through the description of the type of books that are being produced or have been produced, you will not see very much of a percentage dedicated towards, I guess, religious studies or divinely spoken words. So most of it is fiction. It's some variety of fiction that's being produced. It's the human mind, the creativity of the human mind is producing these fiction books that are making up the bulk of books that are being produced or have been produced. And then this bottom chart, I think it shows roughly, I think it's something like 26 or 23 million books produced in a year. And the big, you know, it's gonna, I'm a marketing guy, I do finance. Anyway, so there's that kind of thing about how many books, it's a lot of books basically. And my next slide here is going to talk about by subject. Okay, so it shows you a breakdown, again, of of all the books that are being produced, how they break down by subject. So popular fiction, and you got these different education technologies, self-help, and so on. And then there's religious at 7%. So of all the books that are,
your previous slide on total books, those were all fiction books.
I think you're right about that.
That's why religion wasn't there.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But what I was trying to get at is that I think it's safe to say that religious books represent a very small percentage of the total books that are being produced, and there's a lot of books that are being produced. So we could spend our time. There's a lot of things we could choose to study, and some small, under 10% of the total books produced are going to be in the religious category. And this group has got it together because they, you have some interest in this area, religion. Thank goodness. All right, now then my next one is the time spent on reading. Okay, so this is, I've got this little, I can't remember where, I should have put my source on here. Reading appears to be in decline. It was a Times piece or something. A favorite way of Americans to spend their free time. In 2020, a few months into the COVID, many Americans were still reluctant to leave their homes. 6% of U.S. adults naming reading as their favorite way to spend time in the evening was down from 12% back in 2016. Asked the question in 1960, at least 10% of Americans identified reading as their favorite activity. Okay, the point of that was that reading books generally is in decline. And that's, of course, because of all the other social media and so other things competing for our time. And the point of this slide down here is that reading now, I'm not being critical here. Like, you've got these young kids, I didn't read hardly anything when I had all my little kids and stuff. So, but the point there is that it looks like you got about 20 minutes a day is the amount of time available for reading. If you're pretty typical and you're dealing with the pretty typical demands in life today, you've got about 20 minutes. And I think that's if you're one of these percentages over here that considers reading books to be important. So I'm just gonna laugh here. I just feel like that's just not very much time to really take on some of the things that that this group has done in terms of price. So anyway, I just wanted to set that as the background, that there just isn't a lot of time and there's just so much to choose from that it's difficult to really, you really need to have a plan when you're approaching your reading is sort of the point of that. And hopefully it will remain as a priority for you as you're looking at how you'll spend your time. And we've heard these kinds of things. I'm going to get to Steve's talk here. So let's move ahead. Any questions about that? Does anybody feel that their situation is different and they've just got gobs and gobs of time to study?
I agree.
No way. It's tough. Now I've got my little secret. My secret is that I convert books into an audio file. I've got a piece of software, so I'll take any book, put it into an audio file, and then while I'm driving or working in the yard, I'm able to listen to books. So this audiobooks is an emerging kind of area. So that makes it possible for me to get through a lot more books than I might otherwise get through if I was just trying to sit down, find time to read. So it's sort of a tactic that I've been able to use over the years. It has helped me get through many, many, many books.
And that means those are books in electronic format, I guess, that you can convert.
Yeah. Russell, it is easy for me to find books. I can get them in a PDF format. As a general rule, you can purchase them that way. A lot of times they're online for free, depending on, because I do a lot of history reading and things, you can get these books without any cost. And then in some cases, if I can't, I will be able to get a book in an audio format from Audacity or not Audacity, but Amazon's books, Audible books. So I can usually find the title in an audio format that I can get onto my player. Okay, my next slide here is the must-read list. When I was at the college, the university, I had my roommate, fortunately, was he was a literature student, or he went on to be an attorney, but he was like studying literature or something. And I was studying accounting. And he's like, come on, man. Have you ever read any of these books? No. Well, so he gave me the list of the 100 great books. That was the best thing that ever happened to me in school. And I learned more from reading those books than my accounting classes, I'll tell you that for sure. And I was even so inspired, I took a Shakespeare class. And that was really important. So hopefully, you know, some of these books will look familiar to you, but there's the 100 great book list and so on and so forth. I tried to knock off a few of those. And they were definitely, some of these on here I read. Some of these are, you know, so these are things that can, you know, influence the way you think about people and, you know, it gives you ideas about character and things like that. You read these great books.
On this list, how many have you read?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
I've only got six.
Yeah. But Russell, I actually worked at these lists. I worked at these lists for a while. So I read quite a few of them. And they were good. Would I read them now? I thought about that because my cousin's big into reading. He just finished Tchaikovsky's, whatever that is, one of his books are like this thick. I picked it up. I decided not to. I'm not going to read it because I'll tell you why when I get down there. So yeah, you can spend a lot of time reading the classics, and that'll definitely benefit you. And I think Joseph Smith said these things are good for you, better than, you know, some of the other things you might read. But I'm going to go on here. And here's where we pick up with Steve's talk. Okay, so Steve, and feel free to jump in here, Steve. He talks about, he introduces this Doctrine and Covenants section 109. And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books of wisdom. Seek ye learning, even by study, and also by faith. Okay, now we're kind of getting to the point here. Wait a minute, there is a criteria that you can apply to these studies. And that is, you're looking for these words of wisdom. And I think Steve's title was The Mysteries of the Kingdom. So this is sort of the point of this. And Steve, if you want to make, do you want to make any comment on this?
Well, I would mention the importance of Brother Mauricio's encouragement. I mean, I smile because, you know, you think the LDS Church would let us bring something that's like this out in conference? Probably not. Mauricio was fearless about getting people informed and getting their minds open. And it just makes me smile with a great deal of pleasure and love that he's that committed. But anyway, he stayed after me about this a little bit, and I was a little concerned about, you know, fear of the flesh. How many people are going to, you know, am I going to run anybody away? And then I decided I need to trust the Lord and just let this go and tell what I know and to share this. And actually, this particular Doctrine and Covenant was the one that Mauricio told me as a reference for bringing stuff new. But anyway, I can't take a lot of credit for this. I'm not much of an article writer, except I was properly motivated from both sides of the fence, spiritually and Brother Mauricio.
Steve, that is cool. That is very cool background. And I just, when you said that, it reminds me of what I think you said about Dr. Hertek approaching the LDS Church and getting a very different reaction. Can you just talk a little bit about, because I'm kind of fired up about that, because I have come to understand that there are more than just this book and other books that have been turned down by the LDS faith and have not been shared with the people.
Well, think about the Niemenhall record. They presented it to him, and he told them that they'd have to keep it. Brigham Young said that. But yes, he was excited when he found out that I was a Mormon and I brought a sealed book and to share with him and bore my testimony of it. he became pretty excited, and I didn't really know why until he started to tell a story about many, many years ago when he had this downloaded. He knew the importance to the Mormons, and he was given that from Enoch. And so when he got this stuff, he contacted Howard Hunter, and he was extremely excited about it. He read it and he was going to take it to the church. And he did that, and some time passed before any word came back. But the president at that time, Kimball, I think it was, denied that, didn't want that out. But anyway, he was excited. He said, because the Mormons need to know the role of the Melchizedek priesthood in the latter days, it is of utmost importance. Now, he didn't get into all the explaining of that, and I've tried to read all I can from all of his stuff to get some more understanding, and I've gotten that, but that was my experience. I liken that to finding the sealed book and then going and running down John Pratt in Utah to find out what the rest of this story was. Valera and I both went up to the Raising Conscious seminar in West Palm Beach, where he had an afternoon session. And I had never met him, never talked to him, but he had a presenting booth there, and I'd bought some books and he signed them. And I will share something with you, because this is going to go into the deep details just for a glimpse. He's another one of these I have no fear guys. When he was speaking, he's been doing this for a long time, and his wife was there with him, and he knows most of these ancient words in their original language, Hebrew, Tibetan, Egyptian. He knows these things, and he knows the value of the words, of the divine words of the living God. And he was in the middle of his presentation. There was probably, I'm guessing, 600 or 700 people in there. And the rows that they had set up, chairs that were movable, were in half moon to encompass a better look at the stage. And you could look down and see the curvature of the rows off toward the other wayside of the conference room. And he started, he said that he would quote, or how did he put it? He was going to do the ancient chant, or an ancient, and it was in Hebrew. And he just started off into this beautiful song-like chant. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, now I've read some of the stuff and I understand what he's doing and why he's doing it, but I wasn't ready for it. And I don't think most of the room was. He was just, you know, he's like Mauricio, plow ahead. And something about that, I don't know how to explain it, but I doubled over. I had elbows on my knees. And I was filled with this feeling of intense love and joy. And I looked down that curvature of the people, and there must have been 20 others. And it happened just that quick when he started doing that. And I'll share that with you just to make a point. You know, we read a lot, and we do a lot, and we see a lot. But how much do we really know? It talks about the power, and it talks about the value of these names. And that is a resonance and a vibration and a frequency. And those are things outside much of my understanding. But I can tell you, it was an interesting meeting with him. And I think that there is a lot of stuff here that we need to be moving faster to understand. That's my feeling.
But anyway, thank you. Really, thank you for sharing that. And I remember, I know you've told me some of these experiences too, about how you've seen people with light coming, emanating from them, and these kinds of things. Interesting, very interesting. So we can talk about this particular book, The Keys of Enoch, and the work of Dr. Hertek. But I just wanted to put this out there as part of this kind of the structure around what we're talking about, these books of wisdom. Now, let me move on to the next slide. I'm watching the clock here. Okay, so now Steve's cite there from Doctrine and Covenants, I guess that was Mauricio who it was the inspiration for that, but it is this wisdom thing that we're after. You know, it's not, so we understand necessarily, Russian history, although that's pretty important to understand nowadays, especially, but it's this wisdom. And so I've got this slide here. Wisdom is the capacity of judging rightly in matters relating to life and conduct, soundness of judgment. And then also is the capacity to have foreknowledge of something, to know the consequences, both positive and negative, of all the available courses of action, and then to choose the right action. So when we're thinking about, what we're studying, we are seeking for this wisdom. And it's not just any kind of wisdom. It is really the wisdom of God. And that is also described as the mysteries of God. So I'm going to put forward that based on, what Steve's saying and the citation from the prophet there, we are searching for this kind of wisdom and the mysteries of the kingdom. So then I start on, well, if I was going to try to get that wisdom and mysteries, what books would I read? And I put this list together, and I'm hoping Russell will jump in here and say, "Nah, you should have added this book." Come on, Russell. Yeah. So here's what I've got here. This is just my best cut at it. And I was a little picky. Like I said, the Book of Mormon. Well, that's the 1830 edition. Being fussy there. The Pearl of Great Price, the Revelations of Joseph Smith, the Sealed Book of Mormon, the Records of the Nemenha, the Lectures on Faith. Is there something that shouldn't be on that list, or something that should be added on that list that we should be talking about?
I want to make a comment that here you have D&C 88:118, which is the same as D&C 109 verse 7. I thought
Check that, Russell. Oh, it is. Okay, great. I thought it's the same as Steve's, but I didn't go back and verify. But okay, good. I'm glad it is.
I knew
it was in there.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that the same thing is in two different sections of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Yeah.
They want us to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to comment on the very beginning, as all have not faith. Faith is the way to gain knowledge. But if you don't have faith, then you can use a secondary path to gain knowledge, I think is what it's telling us.
Ah, interesting. Now, I've been studying the lectures on faith, and for many years, I've been reading that almost every week for many years. And there's a section, and it's lecture 6, where the prophet says, you should commit this to memory. And we don't, and I think it was removed from the LDS Doctrine and Covenants. I'm just dumbfounded by that. So I have come to believe that faith, your faith becomes perfect when you have this knowledge. And for me, it's gotten much firmer. And that is, like, if I want to try to do something, like, let's just say I'm taking on the keys of Enoch. And I'm like you, Steve, man, that thing is massive because it encompasses all of science and astronomy. You know, it's a vast, vast topic. This is the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to understand the mechanics of how these worlds came together. So this is what makes that book so challenging. But as you gain that knowledge, like it's like learning to ride a bicycle. When you learn it, then your faith becomes, and I can get on that bicycle and go. Or I can do any other thing that I set my mind towards. As long as I acquire the knowledge, then my faith becomes less. But I have to believe in my kids being fussy that I can't. This is my fussy kid. Close the door, Justin. Thank you. So I'm trying to do is communicate this idea of faith, that we are acquiring this knowledge and this wisdom. And as we do so, You can acquire the knowledge necessary to walk into the presence of the Lord. If you knew how to do it, you could do it right now. But it requires knowledge. You must acquire the knowledge, and you have to have the faith to be able to proceed forward. I can do it. I can get that knowledge. That knowledge is available, but it does require effort to be able to acquire that knowledge. Steve, any comments on that, or anyone else on that idea around faith? Yeah.
Yeah, and one step further, look at the scriptures. He's been wanting us to get more all along. He talks about even as the faith of, and he does that over and over and over again. Of course, there's a lot of things we can put on this list relative to the sealed book and revelations and prophecy and words of Moroni and all that kind of stuff. But he wants us to grow. I mean, in Alma 11 or 12, it talks about in 10 and 11 about he who will not harden his heart and the promises of a fullness of the knowledge of the mysteries of heaven, of the kingdom. But we have to have a willingness and a desire. And for me, looking back, because I don't see things ahead of time too much, I'm kind of slow sometimes. But this faith, as it has been, has had more light and knowledge from these different sources. That faith is moving toward fact, and it feels solid. I have no question about it. This is the way it is, and this is why I'm going to do that. This is why I'm going to consecrate, because I know that's true. This is a temporary stay here, yada, yada, yada. It gets real easy. But having a burning desire to do this, what it takes, because you just don't have enough hours in a day for me. And that's why, I don't see my kids often. They're off doing something else, and I can get lost over here reading stuff to 2 o'clock in the morning doing all the things that I do to find out these things. You have to be willing to search and spend time. And there's going to be a lot of it that doesn't fit. And I've learned that just because I'm learning something doesn't mean I know everything. I don't know nothing. All I'm doing is getting little pieces here. And if it doesn't fit, let's put that over on the shelf here. And after 6 months or a year, I've got 3 or 4 other pieces that start to fit that. Then it starts to come back in the fold. So there's ways of going through this, but for me, it's all about the Spirit, every bit of it, sometimes in some very strange ways, but always be willing to pick up and follow. And I've found some of the most important stuff, sealed book, Neiman Haar record, stuff out of the Philippines and Britain, and ancient records and Thoth and the Egyptian temples and all that stuff. It's like pulling a thread. One thing will lead you to another. And first thing you know, some of these things are connecting in a very powerful way and supporting what we're taught in the scriptures. And that's when it gets really interesting. But yes, I don't want to get on my soapbox. I want everybody to know all of this today. And it just doesn't happen that way.
Bill, I've got one question. Why did you not include the Keys of Enoch in that list?
Okay, good question, Russell. I just love this guy. I'm got it on my next page, so let's go ahead. And Steve, thank you. That is hungering and thirsting after that knowledge. You got to have the fire. And that's the same as Aristotle or Socrates, who pushed the kid under the ocean waves and said, when you can't breathe and you're burning, that's the kind of passion that you have to have to get to the higher knowledge. And I liken this to the Minha records. They use some animal totems, and there's this buffalo. And you're not going to get to that knowledge, because that knowledge will give you power. And that power can be used in wrong ways. And so it has to be acquired through faith and through the Spirit, because you're not going to get that knowledge unless you have proven that you can use it for good purposes, because there's a knowledge out there to destroy the world, and there's evil forces that are seeking to acquire that knowledge. So it's a balance of how you grow spiritually so that you can be able to obtain and use that knowledge correctly. All right, let's move on to our next slide here. All right, so Russell, I wasn't sure if I could put it up there as a standard work, but I listed it under, Are these the revealed word of God? hopefully some of those titles will be things you have seen. Maybe you haven't. I put on one of my very personal favorites up here that people may not be aware of. And I'm not saying one way or another about this, but our communities are united under the work and efforts of our brother Moroni, Captain Moroni. And so he's been instrumental in the Book of Mormon coming forward, the sealed books coming forward. And I'm also proposing that he's been instrumental in this Writings of Moroni, which is another record I shared with Steve. So Moroni has been a key feature in our communities as far as a bringer of knowledge and light. And thank you, Brother Moroni. But there's other books I put down here, Visions of Glory. Some people don't think that is an inspired record. I've read that thing many, many times. And now I'm looking at these other records. I'm seeing similarities in things that are found in that record that strike me as possibly being true. Sort of like what Steve said, you read something, but then you wait for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to bring it in and tie it into your knowledge. So this is another. Some of these visions of the latter days. When I was a young missionary, someone approached me at a conference and handed me a letter, and I just stuck it in my suit coat jacket. And well, it was the revelation of the woman who had seen a vision in the Cardston Temple vision. And it talks about, seeing beyond the veil. Very interesting record, and it definitely had an influence on my life. So there's the visions of President John Taylor, for example. There's some other visions out there of the latter days that some people believe will give you inspiration to better understand the conditions of our time. Now remember, wisdom is having foreknowledge, the ability to navigate the future, because you have this knowledge and information so that you can make right choices. Now we live in a very interesting time, and having a knowledge of the future is extremely important. It's actually life-saving. You really need to understand what's happening around us and why. This Gospel of Thomas, some of these other things, or Book of Enoch. This was very big. Our friend, our brother, Pratt used to talk a lot about this Book of Enoch, and he's done some work in this area. So here are some other records that I think are worth mentioning, and that they may meet the criteria of being something that will provide that knowledge that we're looking for. The knowledge of, now what, let's go on and just firm that up a little bit more. Justin. Okay. What knowledge and experience? Well, this is the thing that you're going to get here. This is sort of how I'm hoping to wrap this up, is that it's a particular kind of knowledge that you're after. It is this knowledge that Christ talks about in the New Testament. It is the second comforter, where the Lord enters into you in a special way. That you, if you continue to humble yourselves, hungering and thirsting after righteousness and living by every word of God, that person will find his calling and election made sure and receive the other comforter. And it's defined here in John chapters 14. Has anyone heard about this? And does that stand out as something that rings a bell?
This is a quote from Joseph Smith.
I believe it's right. Joseph Smith. Yeah. And I can share this document. I have this document. I can share this one. But I believe this is Joseph Smith. So why I bring this out is because it is the lectures of faith and it's the teachings of Joseph Smith. It's in the New Testament. You're going to find it in these other records that we mentioned, that you're not done until you have acquired this. And here's my next one. He will manifest the Father unto him. He'll have the personage of Jesus Christ to attend him or appear unto him from time to time. And he will take up their abode with him. And the visions of the heavens will be opened unto him and her. And the Lord will teach him face to face. And he may have a perfect knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This is the goal. This is the purpose of your studies. I'm going to put out there that there is a very specific level of knowledge that we are to acquire, and that it's not just faith, baptism, repentance, receive of the Holy Ghost. That is just the beginning point. And that I believe that God is qualifying people, and that they're the outpouring of the Spirit in these last times is opening the gate for the acquisition of this knowledge and this second comforter. And there are those who have achieved it down here. There's a list there on the bottom where it shows up. Isaiah, I think we talked about that last week. Ezekiel, John, who have achieved, St. Paul, who have achieved this level, and to be gathered in the church of the firstborn. Okay, so there's a couple things here. I've got the records of the Menha. Now, the records of the Menha, are they going to provide you information that you'll be able to apply, that you'll gain knowledge from the study of that record that will make it possible for you to them? The Menha are all about this. This is the whole heart and theme of their record, is that you will enter upon the way into the presence of the Lord and be taught by him, walking on the way. This is the whole thrust of their record. And I went through their training material, and I had some unbelievable experiences working on this concept of now. And that's why I think it's so firmly rooted in me now, because I really understand that that is the direction. That is what we are to accomplish, to walk with him upon the way and to be instructed by him and to have this second comfort. This comes out of the record of Avgah. Now, this I put in here, this writing in Moroni, that is, for me, that was a shocking record when I first read that thing. It was hard for me to even comprehend it, but it was the same thing. You are to prepare yourself to walk back into the presence of the Lord. And for those who are, now, we have the other records that were mentioned here, lectures on faith and so on, to be able to acquire that kind of knowledge. And I've already put forward the standard works. We have the standard works. Now, I think I'm wrapping up here with this Keys of Enoch here. Now, this is, Steve has entered boldly. Thank you, Steve. Just love that guy, man. It's because of you I've got this record. And so here, Dr. Hertak, when Steve described that experience he had, this is a man who claims to have entered into the presence of the Lord and had the mysteries of the Father's kingdom revealed to him and told to record those records in scrolls, and that there would be keys that would help people to unlock the mystery and knowledge of those things, making it possible for them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God and to be united with that hierarchy. And it is mind-numbing. Of course, our Father, our God, his knowledge is beyond our comprehension. So that book has been extremely challenging for me to work on. And so I've had to take it on in pieces. And like Steve, you told me about the CDs. I've been working on the CDs. There's no way you can take that book on directly. It's like too big. It's too much. I've had to go back and study biology and microbiology and quantum physics. Holy cow. Because all these are the fundamental principles that drive this creation. And by understanding those things, you can see how our Father has applied those concepts, not only here, but in the creation of many worlds, innumerable. And so this is the kind of knowledge that's available in this Keys of Enoch. And it's just another piece of the truth and light that I believe is coming forward. But for many, many years, I studied this book of Revelation with the seven seals, trying to understand the book of Revelation. So I probably read 25 commentaries on the book of Revelation. But this book, Book of Enoch, has given me more insight into understanding those keys than a lot of the other historical records I read. Some very great people have written. Okay, that's it. Great. How do I do? 9 o'clock.
Perfect.
Yeah, see. Yeah, when I'm presenting up in the States, like you, if you go over budget, you're in trouble.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Bill. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
That was great. That was great.
I'm going to stop the recording now.